23. On Monday, Nate managed to spend half the day on the website for the Los Angeles Department of Public Works. He filled out online forms and wrote several emails. In between, he did some data entry and rearranged the bundles in his latest mail crate to make it look like he'd done two or three of them. On Tuesday, he worked his way through pages and pages of old pictures of Los Angeles. There were dozens of sepia-toned photos posted on the web by historical groups and preservation societies. He checked them one after another, watching for anything that looked like his neighborhood or the Kavach building. He'd opened, on a guess, his 300th tab when Eddie shuffled in. A quick mouse click brought the database back up on his screen. Nate glanced over at his supervisor as if he'd just noticed him. "Hey," he said. "What's up?"
"Don't come in tomorrow."
Ann and Zach peeked around their cubicle walls. Nate's stomach dropped. "Is there a problem?" One corner of Eddie's mouth twisted into some indecipherable expression, and he shook his head.
"They want to make extra money, so they're doing a big issue. The budget's tight, and they want us all to cut costs."
He patted his thighs with his hands.
"All of you are getting your hours cut."
Zach groaned. Nate thought about his still withered bank balance. "Cut by how much?"
"Maybe a day a week."
Zach groaned again. "A 20%. Pay cut."
"For how long?"
asked Anne.
5 or 6 weeks, tops."
Eddie gave a lopsided shrug they all knew meant, "I have no real idea." Nate poked the tub of returned magazines and flyers with his toe. "These are going to fall really far behind," he said. "I'm barely holding my own as it is." He gave it another small kick, and one of the bundles tipped over and fell into the hole he'd created in the middle of the crate. Eddie stared at the tub.
"Wow," he said in his flat voice. "You're kind of behind now. This tub showed up last Wednesday, didn't it?"
Nate clenched his jaw. The worst part of the blossoming lecture was that for once it was well deserved. He'd barely done any work in the past couple of days. And he was struck by how much Eddie's flat delivery reminded him of his neighbor Andrew, the church-loving man who lived straight across from Tim. Between timid Mandy and the mysterious Door 23, which was not so mysterious anymore. It was just a cathedral-ceilinged room in the middle of an apartment building that wasn't on the LA power grid. Eddie wasn't talking. He hadn't been for a few moments. Nate's brain shifted and he could feel the gears grind because he didn't get the clutch down fast enough. "Sorry," he said. "My brain was somewhere else, worried about finances now that I'm losing a day. What did you say?" The heavy man wore his blank look. He stared at Nate for another moment, and Nate wondered if he'd just zoned off into the blank look. It wouldn't be the first time. Eddie popped back to life.
"Why do you think you're so far behind?"
"Well, I'm not that far behind."
"I was pretty sure you'd have this done by now. It usually only takes you a day or two."
Nate sighed. "It's never taken me 2 days, Eddie. The quickest I've ever done one was 3 days, and that was because it was all magazines."
"Are you sure?"
"Yes, I'm sure."
"I was pretty sure you'd done them in 1 or 2 days.
"Never." Right on cue, Eddie put on his questioning face like he suspected he was the victim of a scam. Nate saw it at least once every other month. He'd also seen it at the pizza place downstairs. Eddie didn't believe they'd always served Pepsi, never Coca-Cola.
"Anyway," Eddie said, "take tomorrow off, Nate. You want to have every Wednesday off?"
"I don't suppose I could make it Monday or Friday?" Eddie snorted. "Yeah," he said.
"Like we'll be giving you a month of 3-day weekends.